Well, I want you to open your Bible first to the book of 2 Corinthians is where I want to begin this morning, and get your bulletin ready. We'll be with it in a few moments. But in 2 Corinthians, we'll be in chapter 5 in a moment or two. But I want to talk to you this morning about blessing God while you live. Now, that is a foreign idea. You say, what do you mean? Well, we think about God blessing us. But I want to talk about the other side of that coin this morning. Our blessing God, listen carefully, while we live. Now, you can also bless God after you live, but that's another sermon. But it's very, very important. You say, well, why is this so very important? Well, for two reasons. Number one, and hear this carefully, one day you will experience this if you're a Christian. And if you're not a Christian, I pray today you will make that decision. But for those who are Christians, listen to me, one day you will stand before God, we all shall, and we will be judged, hear this carefully, by God, on how we have lived our Christian life. Look at verse 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the thing done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Now, this takes place sometime after the rapture of the church. There's no clear direction in the Bible that I see, that I know, exactly when this Bema judgment is for Christians. This is not the great white throne judgment where the lost are judged. This is somewhere before that. My belief is it is very close to that. And I have a reason for that. I'll mention in a moment if I don't forget that. But be that as it may, there will be a day that we're going to stand before God. And God's going to judge us, you and me, of basically how we've lived our Christian life, whether it be good or bad. Now, good and bad is not meaning he's going to judge our sins. As a Christian, our sins have already been transferred over to the cross when Christ died. Look down in verse 21, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. The Bible said, God made him who knew no sin, that's Jesus, to be sin for us. Why? So that we might become the righteousness of God in him. So this good and bad, back in verse 10, we shall stand before God. The good refers to the activities that we have done that had value eternally. The bad refers to activities that we have done that had no eternal value. Eternally, they were worthless. Now, listen to me carefully. All of us are involved every day in endless activities. We are, all of us. We've taken time out for a moment to come here. But we will leave from here and we go back to all these activities. All week we're in activities. Some of those activities, hopefully, have eternal value. I fear majority of those activities, eternally, worthless. And the sad thing would be for a Christian one day to stand before God, you don't want to do this. And God say to you, it determines your rewards. You spent your life and all the activities were about you and they had no eternal value. So this is one reason that this idea of living our life in such a way that we bless God while we are alive is very, very important. Now the second reason, and here's what it is. Our example will outlive our life. That's very important. Biblically, I think of a verse in Hebrews chapter 11, that great faith chapter, verse number 4. It says, Abel, though he is dead, he still speaks. Now, how does a dead man talk? How does a dead woman talk? I mean, Abel had died, but the Bible says, yet, even though he's dead, he still speaks. Well, that's so true. Just because when a person's body dies, that person's life, that person's example, it just lives right on, for good or for bad. And so this is very, very important. This is the reason, I forgot this also in my first sermon this morning. Did I just forget everything this morning, my first sermon? Have you ever wondered, this is a good, I don't know how I miss this. Have you ever wondered, when a Christian dies, why doesn't God judge them at that moment? Well, because the crop's not in. Even though they have died, their example continues to live on. And that example impacts people's lives. And so out there somewhere near the end of this whole thing, Christians are ready to be judged, not only by the life that they lived until they died, but the example that lived on beyond their earthly life. And I can think of so many people, as you can do, that though they're dead physically, their life still speaks. I'll not go down memory lane this morning because of time, but my mind, I've just wanted to do it. I just wanted to name people that have just, they're gone to be with the Lord. Now, yes, but their example still encourages me, teaches me, challenges me. Many of them have written in some of my Bibles, and they've given me things, and they've written little notes that I cherish. And oftentimes I go back, though they're dead, they still speak. Now, friend, that's true of you. And you say, well, you know, I won't have much to say. Well, that's what you're going to say. You need to be thinking about, once you die in the flesh, your human body, what about this example? Especially so, listen carefully, the example that you left behind as you were going through what I'm going to call this morning wilderness times. By wilderness times, I mean hard times. I mean difficult times. I mean times when things happen and you say, I just do not understand it. We all have those times. Those are wilderness times. Now, some would say, yes, but if I'm a Christian, that won't come my way. Well, that's not what the Bible says. That's not what Jesus said. Jesus said, in this world ye shall have tribulation. But he went on to say, be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. Hear me carefully this morning. You would know this already. I look around the room this morning. There's some marvelous Christian people in this room this morning. At this moment, they and their family are going through some hard things. Hard things. I'll meet with the family in the morning at 11 o'clock. They're going through something very hard. Death has come. Death has come. Listen, Christians, when we go through hard things, we're not exempt. In fact, you're in 2 Corinthians, look back in church 4. And especially is this true to those who are serious about God, and especially to those who are serving the Lord. No one more faithful than the Apostle Paul. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, look what he had to say in verse 8. He said, we are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. One paraphrase I read on those two verses said, Paul said, I've been knocked down, but not knocked out. I like that. Have you ever been knocked down? Maybe you feel this morning you're kind of knocked down. Listen. You may be knocked down, but because of Christ, you don't have to be knocked out. And it's during these wilderness times, we have a tremendous opportunity to do what? To bless God while we live. And I think back of some who have blessed my life immeasurably. And they did so going through some of the most difficult times you can imagine. But they blessed God while they still had life. And listen, that example will live long after they've gone. Now turn back in the Old Testament to the book of Psalms. Another man that loved God, served God. In fact, the Bible said he was a man after God's own heart, was King David. But King David, he experienced tremendous numbers of wilderness times. And in Psalm 63, and the background of this psalm, is very, very interesting. David, of course, was the king of Israel. He had a son, one of his sons named Absalom. And Absalom, and then David's nephew, Amasa, and then he had this guy that was his number one counselor and his number one trusted friend, a very close relationship he had with David. And those three men rallied some of David's own army, kind of a rebel group, and they formed what you and I would call in our day a coup. They were just going to overthrow David and have him killed. And then Absalom would be the new king. David, knowing this, what David had to do, he had to flee from Jerusalem. He had to leave the sanctuary, the place that was the core and center of his life, the place where the people of God would come to pray and worship God. He left Jerusalem by way of the Jericho Road, and he headed south to some of the most barren scenery on the face of the earth. Down toward the Dead Sea area. It's desert. Sand, S-A-N-D. The Jewish people call that area wilderness. We think of wilderness as trees. To the Jewish people, wilderness was the desert. And he's out in the desert. And that being the little background, he prayed a prayer. And if you take your bulletin, I'm just going to run through it very quickly and relate it to what we can do in our life to bless God, especially during our wilderness times. And the very first thing, and I wish you'd fill it in, we can bless God while we live by desiring Him more than deliverance and blessing. Think about that a moment. When we're going through a hard time, a difficult time, something we don't understand, well, we pray and ask God, God, would you please deliver me from all this? That's not what David prayed. His desire was God Himself. Look in Psalm 63, verse 1. It says, O God, you're my God. Early I will seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. Nothing in that verse about, God, would you deliver me out of this? Would you somehow help me to turn this thing around and get back on? None of that. God, would you bless me in this? None of that. It's all about His desire for God. I want to encourage you this morning. When we are going through a wilderness time, nothing wrong. It's right to say, God, please help us through this. Help me through this. But in the midst of all that, may your heart's desire, may your longing be a desire for God Himself. Now, a second way we can bless God while we live is what? It's by being satisfied with what we have. If you look in verse 5, you see David. Now, he's in a tough situation, but here's what he said. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness. Talking about abundance. David's talking about his soul. It's one thing to have your body satisfied. It's another thing to have your soul satisfied. You know, one way you and I can bless God while we live is to be satisfied with what we have. Now listen, human nature, just by human nature, we're all humans. Just like dogs act like dogs, cats act like cats, horses act like horses, people act like people. Sometimes you say, why did he act that way? Here's the answer. They're a person. People act like people. And it is human nature. God made man, and we have this human nature. And human nature, by and large, is just not very satisfied. We always want some more. And we could talk all of our preaching time about that. I need not. That's just human nature. Bigger, better, more, whatever. It's just our nature. The Bible says be content with such things as you have. But it's a very interesting thing that by nature, that is not what we do. We just always kind of think that the grass on the other side of the fence is the greener instead of being satisfied with whatever God has given us. And when we are, we bless God. It's something we can do while we are alive. It's a blessed thing. I was reminded yesterday, actually, and then I thought some sense of it, that an experience that I had that I'd never shared before until this morning in the first service, I did remember to share this. When we were about to graduate from seminary, And I won't go into that because I asked Dottie, she was on row one, what date it was, and she came out with, it was the wrong date. But you'd have been so proud of me. I knew it was wrong, and I agreed with her that it was right. And then she figured out it wasn't right, and she gave this other date, and I agreed it was right. See, the way you stay married, just agree with whatever they say. That's the whole deal. But it was in the fall, the late fall of 1972. I graduated from seminary in December of 72. And before you graduate from seminary, you begin to deal with churches about where you may go to serve. And we were doing that, and one of the churches we were dealing with, a very fine church in another state, and they had flown us to that state, and we visited that. It was a Sunday afternoon, matter of fact. They took Dottie to this home. The chairman of the pulpit committee had invited the wives of the people on the pulpit committee to their home, and the wives were meeting with Dottie, and they were checking her out. And she didn't know it. She just thought they were having a fun time. They were checking her out. But while that was going on, I was down at the church meeting with the pulpit committee, the people given that job. And they were trying to learn about me, and I was trying to learn about the church and to see if I thought this thing would work, and they thought the same. Well, we're right in what I thought was the middle of the meeting, and the chairman, who was an elderly man, he just said, the meeting's now over. I thought, oh my gracious, I never saw a meeting in quite like this. And everybody just got up and left the room but me and that man. And he said, do you wonder why that I ended a meeting like that? And I said, I guess I do. And he said, I just thought it was time it'd be over. I thought, So we get in this man's car. He's driving, and we're going to go to his house. And I'm sitting over in the other seat. We're driving out of the little town, and we pass this bank. He said, that's my bank. I said, oh, you bank there? He said, no, I own the bank. And I thought, oh, this guy here, he's different. And we're driving along, and he said, I want to ask you a question. Do you know the difference between a weed and a flower? Well, I knew the man had some life lesson here, but I said, I don't know what you're driving at, but I can tell the difference between a weed and a flower. I said, what is the difference between a weed and a flower? He said, here's the difference. Y'all need to remember this. I've never forgot. He said, a weed is a flower that never had a chance. And he said, I view you like I did our former pastor. When he came, he was a weed, and we blessed him and made him a flower. Now, you're a weed. This guy's driving his car along. I'm wanting to jump out. And he said, we can make you a flower. Well, I knew at that moment I wasn't going to that church. I thought, it's a great church, but I couldn't tell Dottie. She was back with these ladies in that home. And there was never an occasion between that moment and the rest of that night until after church. I preached in the church that night, but see, I never was just with Dottie to say to her, don't worry, be ugly to the old women if you want to. We're not coming here. Don't try to be nice anymore to these people. We're out of here. But I couldn't do that. That's the longest, I don't know what the longest sermon you ever heard me preach, but the longest sermon I ever heard me preach, I can still see that, was that night when I preached in that church, because I knew that I wasn't coming to this church, and probably they didn't want me anyway, I don't know. But here's what I got out of that. Later on, I thought about that, and I thought, I probably am a weed. I was 31 years old. I'm probably a weed at 76, but I was. You should have known me at 31. If you think I am a mess now, I was a mess. But you know what? I'd rather be a weed in God's garden than a flower out of God's garden. In fact, I wound up going to a church that didn't see things that way. And they blessed my life immeasurably. I'm just saying to you folks, let me tell you, the devil sometimes will get you thinking you're a weed. Where you are is not very significant. What you do doesn't make much difference. Let me tell you what. If you're in God's garden, you are a flower. Could I have an amen to that? And you need to be satisfied with that. That's the way you bless God. Just be satisfied where you are. my first little church. By the way, I didn't tell this at first service, but I didn't forget it. I just thought of it now. Like on a good day, I'm talking about this is a little church I pastored while I was finishing university work. I was there 3 years. This little country church, great little church. They taught me so much. John was born while we were at this little church. But on a good day, bright, sunshiny day, they'd have about 70 people in church. If it was raining a bad day, they'd have 67. If we had a high attendance day, they'd have 73. It was just a good old rural country church. But I'm going to tell you something. I was as happy and satisfied in that place as I have anywhere I've ever been. Because when I was there, for me, that was God's garden. And that was true in Tennessee. That's been true in Sulphur Springs. And that's true right here. It's not what you have. It's who you have. Could I have an amen to that? And so wherever you are out there, I just hope you're in God's garden. You're a flower, not a weed. Now let me tell you another way you can bless God while you live. And you ought to jot this down in your bulletin if you would. And that is having words of joy and praise. Words of joy and praise. No matter what you're going through, whatever wilderness experience it might be, these words of joy and praise. In verse 7, David said, "Because you have been my help, therefore, in the shadow of your wings, I will rejoice." See, when people are going through wilderness times, what does the Bible say? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. What comes out is what's in. And you talk about a way to bless God. When you're going through, a tough situation, words of joy and praise is a way you can bless God. Richard, I hope it's okay. I want to use Georgiana. Can I use Georgiana? I should have asked you in advance if it's okay, because I can stop. I don't have to. The day before she went to be with the Lord, you were there. Dottie and I went down to Holcomb to visit. And we went in the room. She had that Georgiana smile on. Her words were joyful words. She knew the situation. It's not like she didn't know. They were words of praise. And I'll tell you what, her example is just living right on. Her body's has died. Her soul. But the point I make is this. See, that thing, that experience, and you family saw that much. But see, here's the deal. It's a way we can bless God while we're alive so that our example blesses God beyond our own life. Abel, though he's dead, he still speaks. Georgiana Bishop's body is dead, but her example still speaks. But you don't have to wait to that kind of experience. We all go through hard things. We do. But words of peace and joy, praise to God for His presence and His help. I'm telling you what, that is a way you can bless God while you live. And then quickly, this fourth thing, and it's so very important. We can bless God while we live with our thoughts. With our thoughts. Look at what David said in verse number 6. He said, "When I remember you on my bed, I meditate on you in the night watches." You see, old Dave, David's out here fleeing for his life, but he's thinking about God. Now, only you know what you think about in a wilderness time, except God. God knows what you think, and your thoughts, not just your words, your thoughts can bless the Lord. Boy, I read this chapter, I think about what David's situation was. And I think, how in the world could he have been such? I'll show you how. Look in verse 4. This is key. This is key to the whole sermon. This is part I want you to take home with you. It's in 7 words in this prayer. 7 words. Set and settled the direction of David's life, no matter what came his way. And here they are. Verse 4. I bless you while I live. In other words, here's what David said to God. I bless you, God, while I live. And those 7 words made everything about his life different, even when he was fleeing for fear of assassination and death. Now, folks, listen to me this morning. Those seven words. I will bless God while I live. Think what would happen in our church right now if all of us stood up, put our hand over our heart, looked up to heaven, and said, I will bless God while I live. And we didn't just say it, we meant it. You know what it would do? It would set and settle what we do and how we live as a church. Think about your family. If everybody in your family said, okay, here's going to be my life verse. I will bless God as long as I live. That means all of my activities, everything I'm involved, what will it do? It's going to bless God. That is my goal. Now, we'll not always measure up. We'll sometimes stumble. But I'm telling you what, God knows your heart. God is not looking for perfection. God is looking for progression. And if God looks in your heart, and in your heart, here it is, a heart that says to the heart of God, I will bless God while I live. I'm going to tell you what it'll do. It will set and settle the direction of your life, the rest of your life. And then, when you've lived life and you're gone, though you're dead, you'll still speak. Now, this morning, I'm not going to ask you to stand up and put your hand over your heart. No, no. I'm going to ask you to do something far greater than that. I'm going to ask you to open your heart. Open your heart. And just say to God, God, with an open heart this morning, I'm making a fresh new commitment. I'm coming to the end of this Thanksgiving month, and God, here's my commitment this morning. I will bless you while I live. So I want you to bow with me this morning. Every head bowed, heart open to the Lord. Some today, if you really mean that, you'll be saved. You'll be saved. Others will settle their salvation. Others come for their baptism. Others come put their life in the church. These are just things we can do now while we're alive in God's church. I will bless God while I live. This morning, you know what you need to do to bless God. Nothing you can do to bless God more than to give your heart and life to the Lord Jesus. Ask Him to forgive you of your sins. Come into your life. Make you a Christian. Others, settle that. Others, your baptism. Others, church membership. And so with our heads bowed and our hearts open to the Lord, would you just in your heart in these little moments, would you just pray, God, I'm making a commitment this morning. I'm going to bless you while I live. I will bless God while I live. And Father, while people are praying about that, I pray this morning, God, for some who do need to be saved and can be and need to be. And I pray it's so simple. I pray, God, today they will just say, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. I'm asking you to forgive me of my sins. Come into my life. Make me a Christian. I trust you to save me. Others, God, can bless you this morning by being obedient to their baptism. Others, by being obedient to put in their life in your church, serving you here, as well as worshiping you here. So, now, Lord, would you bless these moments of invitation? And I pray, God, we'll just feel that Spirit all over this room. That together we've joined hearts and minds, and we say to you in heaven, oh God, I will bless God while I live. That's my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.